Praise God. Good to see my dad back. May the Lord bless you, Dad. And I'll tell you, God is good. We're going to sing this and we're going to stay right under the blood. Do you believe it this evening?
Amen.
Well, the devil can do me no harm.
Amen.
He can do nothing. Only what God will permit. Nothing more. Amen. Do you believe that? He tried to kill Job, but God didn't tell him to do it, and he couldn't do it. But he tried it. But God didn't permit it. God raised him up. Amen. Let's sing that this evening like you believe it. Forget about everything and everything around you. Just really worship the Lord for a moment before we turn to the Word of God tonight. Praise God.
Stay right under.
Received it as well. They both rejoiced. Let's rejoice in the Lord. We believe we're wheat, don't we? Some of you think you're wheat. Do you think you're wheat? You believe you're wheat. I believe you're wheat. If you believe you're wheat, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's sing it then. When it gets to heaven, I tell you, there's going to be a jubilee. There's no quiet. Heaven's not going to be quiet.
That's right.
It's not going to be quiet. There's going to be rejoicing. And we're going to sing a song the angels can't sing. They'll have to listen.
Amen.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Let's sing it, praise God, before we turn to the Word of God. Stevenage She and you caught one of them. I don't know if you ever remember them. John would maybe remember them. And they were big lumps of men. Shane was into drugs, into everything, and God saved a big fella, about 6 feet tall, maybe 17, 18 stone, and it is her all shaved here, but he got into worshiping, and they got into singing, and I tell you, they knew how to worship the God. They really knew how to worship God. They even sang, and the McCarthys were great singers, they made tapes singing, and they had organs going, guitars going, everything what could play was going, and they got worshiping the Lord. And they used to sing that song of a trump and the devil under their feet. That's what he needs, trump. He's a liar. Now tell you, our sister Suzanne's had an attack of the enemy today. And God's going to deliver. Do you believe that tonight? I tell you, Margaret used to tell me, she says, Brother Tom, it's an attack. But we have an answer. And the answer is prayer and the answer is God. And I tell you, we have a privilege that we can call God on the scene. Praise God. Let's come and pray tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight that your ear is ever open to our cry. We thank you that we have a free access because of the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We thank you that we can come boldly into the throne room of grace, for we may find help and mercy in the time of need. Lord, we do approach thee humbly this evening in the name that thou set afar above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke the devil over this house. We rebuke the devil over every home that's represented in this house tonight. We rebuke the devil over our sister Suzanne this evening. We ask the power of God to come upon her. We ask the spirit of healing to come all over her. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you'll touch her tonight. We ask for any others that need your touch in this room. The Lord, you will indeed touch them tonight. Heal them tonight. For any that's laid aside sick at home, may the Spirit of God come upon them. May the Spirit of God quicken them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone in this room tonight. We plead the blood of Jesus all that's over all that's near and dear to us this evening. We plead the merits of the blood of the Lamb. And we ask that that blood will speak for us this evening. For Lord, your word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We thank you tonight that we are the redeemed of the Lord. Father, I sincerely pray you'll bless your word to our hearts tonight. Help us to hear what you want to tell us, Lord. Move in our midst this evening, I pray. If there's any cast down, may they be uplifted. If there's any need of encouragement, Lord, may encourage and strengthen them tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. 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 She can't be ever beside you tonight. Say, God's going to bless you. Praise God. God's going to bless you. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
Let's turn again to the book of Daniel. And I won't keep this too long, hopefully. But I don't know, might preach 3 hours tonight.
Amen.
Paul preached all night.
All right.
But I always say it, there's one thing he can do when he gets finished, raise the dead. Amen. God's good. The Lord bless each one. Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, and we're looking at the fourth man tonight. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an herb their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had even passed upon them. He's maybe seated, praise God. I tell you, these men were tied, and they weren't tied with ordinary soldiers. We saw this morning that the king called his top soldiers to tie these men. And they tied them tight. And he was in a rage and he was in a fury. And I said this morning, never make a decision when you're cross, because you'll make the wrong one. And he made the decision in a fury and in a rage. And the Bible says his countenance was changed. And he couldn't wait to get them through into the fire. That's what it looked like here. And he cast them into the fire. He commanded his soldiers to cast them into the fire. And their clothes and their hosen and their hats and everything they had, all was thrown into the fiery furnace. And the very man that threw them in was burned alive. And here now the king's in astonishment. Now I want to say this, God can always take the heat out of the flame. It doesn't matter what situation we're in. It doesn't matter what trial we're in. God can take the heat out of the flame. Oral Roberts said when he preached this sermon, and Oral Roberts preached a great sermon on the fourth man, and he says, I guess that he took three asbestos suits down and put it on them. That was just his way of saying it. But William Branham said, when the fourth man came into the fiery furnace, he brought a breeze in with him. The fourth man took the heat out of the fire, or whatever he'd done, that fire couldn't damage him or hurt them. The fire had no power upon them. Doesn't the Bible say, when thou walkest through the water, it shall not overflow thee? When thou goest through the fires, it shall not kindle upon thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord. I tell you, when the Lord is with us, who can be against us? One with the Lord will put 1,000 to flight, and two, the Bible says, the tens of thousands, and a threefold cord's not easily broken. And these were three men that believed God, and the fourth man came. Thank God for the fourth man. That which the enemy had planned for God's people, God can turn it to destroy our enemies. The psalmist David tells us that. The only thing they burned in this fiery furnace was the things that bound them. The only things that was consumed in this fiery furnace were the ropes that tied them up, and the ropes that tied their hands together, and if their feet was tied, or whatever was tied, these ropes melted in the heat, but they didn't. The thing that holds you bound, when you come in contact with Jesus, will melt away. The thing that holds you captive, when Jesus comes on the scene, he'll break it. That's one thing about the Lord. He'll break it. Break every yoke. Hallelujah. These ropes burned off them in the fire. And these three great men of faith, I tell you, they were three great men of faith. It was Nebuchadnezzar who saw the fourth man, who looked like the Son of God. That was his own words. Walking around in the midst of the fire, the Hebrew children walking around loose in the midst of the fire. I tell you, I believe this fourth man was the Lord. The Hebrew number 4 is Dalet, which means a door. And I tell you, the door came the whole way from heaven. You said a door, I said yes. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9, Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus is the door to heaven. There's no other door to heaven, only Jesus Christ. The church is not the door to heaven. The minister's not the door to heaven. An organization's not the door to heaven. But Jesus Christ is the only door to heaven. And this door come in the midst of the fire. He came to save them. He came to rescue them. He came to deliver them. He came to set them free. He came to prove to a heathen that worshipped heathen gods that there's one true God. The Lord thy God is the only one true God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He come into the very midst of the flames. Look what he says in verse 8. Of John 10. All that ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Verse 9 of John 10. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. I tell you, it's the Lord that brings us into green pastures. Whom the men say that I am. People have different ideas. I've read the different commentaries. I've read the different reading of the fourth man. And I have to be honest about it. There's hardly a writer, there's hardly a reader knows really who the fourth man is. It's the same thing when you do a study of Melchizedek. All the great scholars, all the great teachers, hardly a one of them know really who the fourth man is. They don't know who it is. They say it was an angel. They say it was this, they say it was that. But I know who he was. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who I believe he was. You see, there's a problem we have today. And the problem we have today is that people don't believe that Jesus pre-existed. But I believe he is pre-incarnate. Ever before he was alive, I believe he was in the bosom of the Father from the foundation of the world. I believe he was on the earth ever before he was here as a human man. Ever before he took upon him flesh and blood. I believe he was there in the beginning, and all things were made by him, and all things were made for him, and without him wasn't it anything made that's made. And I thank God that God sent a messenger in the last days. And that messenger that came in the last days, the spirit of Elijah, he said one of the revelations that God brought out under them seven seals was who Melchizedek really was. And if you know who Melchizedek really was, you'll know who this fourth man was. Oral Roberts knew who he was. The old preachers of a day gone by knew who the fourth man was. But many of the modern day scholars will refuse to admit it's Jesus Christ, and they fiddle about it and they won't say it. They say him when you read their teachings of the Antichrist. They play around it and they won't say it's the Pope of Rome. But I tell you, we can't play around these things. The book seals is off the book. Amen. The book's no longer sealed. The seal is broken of the book. We're living in the last of the last days. When Daniel says knowledge shall be increased in the last days. When the Bible says that a full restoration will come into the church where we should know the truth. This is not an hour for joining up. This is an hour for come out from amongst her, my people, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. They're all going to unite together. And the Pope will be the head of it all. But God's going to have a people. And I tell you, he's gathering his people together for the rapture, for the catching away. I thank God for this fourth man. Jesus in Matthew 16 verse 13. Jesus said, on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, asked his disciples, saying, whom the men say that I, the Son of Man, am. And they said, some say that thou art Elias, John the Baptist, who Elias, or others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And the Catholic Church, because he said thou art also Peter, and upon this rock, the Catholic Church took that scripture, and they say that it is a revelation that Peter's a rock. That Peter's a rock, and they build a foundation that Peter's a rock. Then the Protestants say Christ's the rock. And Christ is the rock. You couldn't say Christ's not a rock, because he's a rock and a weary land, the Bible says. But it's a revelation of who he is. And the Bible says, no man can know me, save to him whom the Father will reveal him. That's the word of God. It was by a revelation that Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter was the Christ. The Christ, that's the anointed Messiah. That's the one that Luke's gospel says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. He has sent me to preach the gospel and bring deliverance to captives. That's the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you, it's a revelation of who he is. Many people today don't know who he is. When you hear these great arguments, these false religions, they say Jesus was just a good man. Jesus was just a philosopher. Jesus was just another prophet. He was a good man. He was a prophet. But he was more than that. He was God manifested in flesh. He was supreme deity. Hallelujah. He was a Sinai verse 6. The governor upon his shoulders.
Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. That's what he was. I thank God for this fourth man. Now I'm going to come back to the fourth man in a moment, but I want you to take a journey with me in the Word of God just for a moment. And I want you young ones to know about the Lord, and I want you, all of us, to know that Jesus was before ever he was here as a man. Jesus was in the bosom of the Father from the foundation of the world. Christ was pre-incarnate with God prior to his coming in flesh. Pre-incarnate means in existence prior to coming in human form. Hebrews 7 verse 1 to 3. Look what it says. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him. And to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation the king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Without father, without mother, so Mary's not his mother either. I want to tell you that Mary is not the mother of God. I want to say in this pulpit again, I think you didn't hear my, Mary is not the mother of God. Those thousands proclaim it, those thousands believe it, Mary is not the mother of God. For God has no mother, God has no father, he's without ascent, he's without descent, and before he was God, he was a self-existing one that dwelt alone with his thoughts. And Jesus was in the bosom of the Father from the foundation of the world. The Virgin Mary is just an incubator for the Lord to come through. But she's not the mother of God. I tell you, the false religion that there is about today, and people are believing it, and they're in bondage. But when the fourth man comes, he releases from the burden. The only thing that broke was the ropes. The ropes didn't break because of the fire. The ropes broke because of the fourth man. Because the fire done no harm upon these men. You read it, and I read it for you in the scripture. There wasn't even the smell of smoke upon them. The hairs of their heads wasn't even singed. And yet the furnace had consumed those that threw them in. And yet the furnace was turned up 7 times more than it was to be heated. But it did these men no harm because the fourth man was with them. Death can't touch you when the Lord's with you. Death can't take you when the Lord's with you. And remember that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago on the place called Calvary took the sting out of death. And he said, O death, where's thy sting? O grief, where's thy victory? For it's swallowed up at Calvary, praise God. Amen. Thank God for the word of God tonight. Listen, Proverbs 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning of ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no foundations abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea its decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was with him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. He was in the bosom of the Father. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt amongst us. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and suffice us. And Jesus turned and said, Philip, have I been with you so long, and do you not know me? Him that have seen me have seen the Father. And why sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Then he went on to say, believe it for the work's sake, for no man could do the works Jesus done. That's the word of God. He could raise the dead. He could open the blinded eyes. He could straighten the crippled limbs. He even when Peter cut the soldier's ear off, Jesus touched him and healed him and fixed his ear immediately. I tell you, this is the Lord of all glory. This is the fourth man. This is the man that when Moses held his rod up over the Red Sea, the sea parted hither and thither like a wall on every side, and they went over on dry ground because the Lord delivered them. He was a pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. This is the fourth man. It pre-existed ever before he was here in flesh. This is not just some prophet or some religious teacher that popped up for a few years and disappeared. I want to tell you that Jesus is living tonight. I want to tell you that he's seated at the right hand of the majesty in high. And the word of God says he ever liveth to make intercession for his saints. We're not defeated tonight. The Lord's on our side. The Lord is with us. The Lord says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even when his children were cast into the fire, he came into the midst of the furnace. Praise God. Amen. You say you're excited, you better believe it. Thank God for the fourth man.
Right.
Hallelujah. God created all things through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 verse 12 down. Giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That's Nebuchadnezzar, that's the devil, that's every demon, that's every angel, every single thing there is, he made it.
Amen.
And nobody can say that it's greater than the one that made it. God is in control of that.
Amen.
And I want you to know this house tonight, and I want everyone about to know that 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ assumed full and total responsibility back of the devil.
Amen.
And he marked this earth with his blood, and he's coming for his people, and he's going to renovate this earth. There's going to be a fire come on it and renovate it, and we're going to live and reign in this earth with Christ for 1,000 years.
Amen.
Hallelujah! That's the Bible. I thank God he made everything. Isn't that wonderful? And you were made for him, brother. And I don't care what the devil tells you. I don't care what your neighbor tells you or some pope head tells you. I want you to know in this service, on the authority of this book tonight, that you were made for the Lord. You were made by him. You were made for him. And the word of God says about you, I have good thoughts concerning you, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. I tell you, the devil wants to whisper in people's ear that you're this, you're that, and you're no this. And he wants to get you down so that you can't pray, so that you can't worship. But I want to tell you tonight that Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. And he gave himself for you. He's a lover of your life. He loves you tonight. I tell you, when the devil told me nobody loved me, and he kept at me and he kept at me, and I was suicidal. I was on the verge of taking my own life. I want you to know in this service tonight that I heard a voice. And the voice I heard said, I love you and I give myself for you. And when I heard the voice, I was delivered. I was set free as soon as I heard the voice. There's a power with the voice of God. There's an authority with the voice of God. Praise God. This fourth man changed things. Verse 17 he says, and he is before all things. That's Buddha, that's Muhammad, and whatever other false prophet you want to throw in there, Joseph Smith will throw him in too, and all the rest of them. Every one of those false, the Pope of Rome, and all the popes before him, and if there's any coming after him, they're all false. But Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ is not dead. Jesus Christ is not on the cross. Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. But he's living tonight. And the word of God says he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints of God. We have somebody praying for us in the glory tonight. Now, wonderful sister, the Lord's praying for us. Peter would have failed, but Jesus says, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Satan wants to whip you like wheat, but I prayed for you.
Yes, amen.
Even though the devil tries to whip us, the Lord's prayed for us. We're going to come out right when we put the Lord first. Hallelujah. Thank God for mercy. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body of the church. Thank God he's the head.
Yeah.
You mind when I preached about the things about the church? What about the true church? Who established the true church? Jesus Christ. Who's the head of the true church? Jesus Christ. But there's a false church today. There's a beast today, and the head of it's a Pope of Rome. And they're making an image to the beast. Revelation 13 tells us. And they're going to worship the image of the beast. And I tell you, they're going to receive a mark, and some of them's already marked. But I'm marked too. Everywhere I go, I'm marked. I'm marked by the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the priest took his thumb and he put the thumb mark of the blood in the right ear, and they saw the mark of the blood and they knew the mark. And Brother Branham said, when he stood at that gate, and the brother told him, he said, Brother Branham, you don't know what you're looking for, but he says, we're looking for the blood tag. And when you see the blood tag, you'll know it's a purebred. And we have a blood tag, the blood of Jesus tonight. And we're purebred, the prophet says, Pentecostals.
Amen.
Now I know some people don't like that, but it won't change the fact that it's real.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says in one place, I'm a Pentecreed Pentecostal.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You believe that this evening?
Amen.
There's no point but some mongrel. I want to be the Pentecreed Pentecostal. Where did it all start? At the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Suddenly there came a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were gathered. That was the fourth man too. He come down and cloven tongue separated on them. They didn't need to tell nobody, we've got the power of God. They knew it. Pope of Rome can't say what Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But Peter could say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You say you're hard on the Pope. I had to go double on him, for everybody else is leaving him alone.
Amen.
And I can't miss him. I have friends that are Catholics, and I love them and I pray for them. And when I think how they're in bondage because of a false religion, how they're in bondage because of false teaching. And when I read and study the Word of God and read into those books and the history and what they did with the martyrs and the doctrines that come out of the pit of hell, that is thousands of people universally over the world in bondage tonight. Then when I think of the so-called Protestants that's making an image to that beast, and they've gone to worship that beast, and they're walking in hook, line, and sinker. They've took the bait. And they're all condemned. And God's sending out a warning. Why do you think God sent the spirit of Elijah? Everybody doesn't know that God sent the spirit of Elijah. They're preaching that it's coming on a group. There's not one scripture that says that. That's false teaching. There was Elijah. Then there was Elisha. There was John the Baptist. There's William Morion Branham in the 20th century with the spirit of Elijah upon him. And then Elijah himself coming back to Israel. I want to tell you, as I'm studying this as well, I'm seeing that Mark had mixed up a lot. He used a lot of scriptures for Israel, to the Gentiles, what was Israel. But God sent someone, a plumbed line.
Yes,
there's a plumbed line. And you have to follow the plumbed line so that it might be line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, so is the Word of God. We need to pray that God will help us to rightly divide the Word of God. The prophet of God said, if it's wrong, but yet there's a truth somewhere.
Yes.
And he said, how do you know a fake dollar? There's a real one.
Yes.
And there never could be a fake one till there's a real one. And that's the same when people are against tongues and gifts. There's real gifts.
Amen.
There might be fake gifts, but there's real gifts.
Yes.
And don't be worried about the fake. Be concentrated for the real. You'll know the fake. But his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. God was in him.
Amen.
I want to tell you that Jesus was the only man in flesh that the fullness of God was in. Are you hearing me tonight? I've heard people say that people were exactly like Jesus. I don't believe that.
That's right.
Jesus couldn't sin. He could do no wrong. Now the Spirit of God can come in a man. But the Bible says that he never gave the Spirit to Jesus by measure, but the fullness. In other words, God was actually in him. That's what it means. Not a part of him, but all of him. And yet he was still God. That's why Paul says, I show you a mystery. God can baptize millions in the Holy Ghost, and he's still God. He's never diminished. It's like a spoonful of water that you take from the ocean. Everything that's in the ocean, you can take to the laboratory and you'll find it in one spoonful of water. But the spoonful's never the ocean. But everything that's in the ocean is in the spoonful. And if God would just give us a little outpouring of the Holy Ghost, everything we need in it. And the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It'll quicken your mortal body. Thank God for the fourth man. Ephesians 3:9 tells us, and to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. And he's talking about himself. He's talking about God in flesh. That's what he's talking about. What do you mean, brother? I mean Hebrews. What do you mean? When the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son into the world to redeem the world. When the fullness of time was come, at the right time, Jesus came.
Amen.
Nobody else could redeem us.
Amen.
You couldn't be redeemed with some good man.
Amen.
But the God-man, he became us that we might become him. He lowered himself a little lower than the angels. He condescended. He came down the whole way from glory. And he took upon him the form of a man. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But thank God on the third day that God raised up that same Jesus. Paul said, whom we preach. Didn't preach another Jesus. There's only one true Jesus. Jesus Christ was the Father, was with the Father before the world ever was. He was with him. John 17 verse 5 tells you that. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. With him ever before the world was. I tell you, that's wonderful. He was with him. Jesus, because Jesus took upon him the form of a man to save us. That's why he came. Philippians 2 verse 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ laid aside his theophanic form. Are you hearing me? Christ took upon himself a human form.
Yes, yes.
You say it's theophanic form. You remember what a prophet of God said. I never heard another preacher make the statements he's made. He said that God took a lump of clay and made himself a body, and that was Melchizedek that met Abraham. He just made himself a body and stepped into it. He said that's God. He said it's the same one all the time. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And you know, God was above us. In the Old Testament, no man could see God and live. And then in the New Testament, it was God with us. And the person of Jesus Christ. Now in this dispensation of grace, it's God in us in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? We should be expressing him. There's a song says, express yourself. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not. But it's a famous worldly song that says, express yourself. When we need to start expressing ourselves.
Glory,
and when we start to express ourselves, signs and wonders and miracles will start to take place like they did in the book of Acts. Because it's the same spirit that was in Jesus is in the true church of the living God. That quickens the dead, makes the blind eyes open, makes the deaf ears to hear, and makes the cripples walk, cleanses the leper, praise God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8.
Amen.
Don't fear the devil. Don't fear no demon. But fear God. Now when he said don't fear him that has power to take this natural body. But fear the one that has power to kill the soul also. That's the Lord Almighty, the fourth man. I thank God tonight there's no second death. For them to see. If some people don't believe in a second death, they believe in eternal life in hell. I don't believe it. There's no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. You better get that tonight. William Branham showed us that it's a Zoe life, the Greek word Zoe, which means God's own life is in you and it's in me, and we can't die, for God can't die. And there's no other form of eternal life. People cannot live for all eternity outside of Jesus Christ. That's false teaching. There's a second death. And the word of God says that death and hell were both cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. I thank God tonight there's only one form of eternal life. You see, that's a trick of the devil. If he can try and get people to, oh, you'll be all right, you'll go there, but you'll keep living. That's a lie. That's a lie. Hebrews 2 verse 8 to 12 says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now if you think you're suffering and God's making you suffer to perfect you in some way, that's false teaching.
That's right.
That's the devil told you that. Jesus Christ suffered for you.
Amen.
And if somebody's going to preach, you need to suffer for God. They're not believing Jesus done enough on the cross.
Amen.
Jesus came to peace of suffering.
Glory.
Isaiah 53 says, by my stripes you were healed.
Amen.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Amen.
And by his stripes we are healed. Even the Lord gave them a brass serpent that they could lift up in the wilderness. And when they looked upon the brass serpent, the snake that bit them couldn't kill them because the Lord healed them.
Right.
And we're living in the last days under the atonement of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How much more can Jesus Christ do when we look to him tonight? Look of Christ to Calvary.
Right.
And to the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, the devil's a liar. You said we won't get sick. Certainly we will. We will get sick in these bodies, but we can claim healing. Amen? Just like you have a right to claim your salvation, you have a right to claim your healing. Jesus paid for your healing, and Jesus paid for your salvation at the same place at Calvary. There's healing in the atoning blood of the Lamb of God. I tell you, if people were to suffer because they'd done something wrong, I'd have suffered a lot. I'd done lots of things that God wouldn't have been pleased with. Every one of us done. But the Bible says in Romans, oh, I love the book of Romans. Hallelujah! It's called the imputation of the righteousness of God.
Yes,
that God says to you, I didn't impute to you your sins, but I imputed to you my righteousness. That's God freely gives you his righteousness for ours one day.
Amen.
He doesn't look at us sinners no more. But he looks at us in Christ, perfect. Complete. in Him. I am complete in Him. We even sing it. We need to believe the songs we're singing, or else we're going to make it false. That's a real song, brother. I believe it. Amen. I believe Jesus paid it all for me. And I believe He paid it for you too. I want to get back to this fiery furnace. And I won't be much longer. I could be, but I won't hold this much longer. I didn't plan to preach at all. I planned just to get up here and say a few things and talk a bit, but this is what's happened. I believe it's God. And you know the Lord, how He steered the service this morning. And there's two people in unsaved, and that was God. You can't plan out God. You don't need to plan God out. He's already ahead.
Right.
He knows the end from the beginning.
Right.
And a brother James McConnell said a tremendous truth to Brother Gary's. He said, when you sow a seed, God will do something with that seed. When you sow a seed, when you preach the word of God, you're sowing a seed, and God will look after His own seed. Thank God for the word of God. Back to these Jews. Let me read you this. By faith they saw the fourth man in the furnace. Now William Branham saying that these three men, he believes, could already see him even before they went in. You say, I can't understand that. William Branham could see visions of people in the service ever before he went to service. And God can let you see things before they happen. And if God can show you something even days and weeks before it happens, you're going to have absolute confidence that you know the outcome. I know there's people in here, and you know there's times it's happened when God has showed you something and you know what was going to happen ever before it happened. Amen? And they knew it. They were confident. We're not bad. Do what you want. We're not bad. If you bow, you'll burn. But if you don't bow, you won't burn. Amen? Sure they did. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. What did they do? They seen the unseen. Are you hearing me? They seen the unseen. They seen the fiery furnace before them, and they seen the fourth man standing in it. You said that the king saw him, but they saw him before the king saw him. Are you hearing me? And you know, when William Branham's meetings, when the pillar of fire came, he said that some people won't ever see it, but others will see it whom God permits to see it. And if God would just permit us tonight to see the fourth man, we could see him in the next meeting. For he's here. Are you hearing me this evening? There's angels near us tonight. For the word of God says, the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear the Lord. There's angels near us tonight. If we could have our eyes open, we could see them. Just like the man that was with the prophet in the Bible. He said, there's so many of them. The prophet said, open the young man's eyes. And he saw the horses and the chariots.
Yes, amen.
God opened his eyes. And these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could see the unseen. They saw the God of Abraham. They saw the God of Isaac. They saw that fourth man, like the Son of God, standing in the midst of the fire. They had no fear. When they threw them in, they threw them into the arms of the Lord. Are you hearing me tonight? When they threw them into Calvary, they threw them into the arms of the Lord. Many times when the enemy does something against us, he's only throwing us onto the Lord. God will work it for his glory.
That's right.
And the prophet of God tells us that the devil is only a tool in the hand of God to bring about God's great plan. Amen.
Right.
I know it's hard to get your head around it. And you can't, so don't try to, but it's real.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank God tonight. Listen to this. They seen the fourth man standing in it. fanning the breezes away from them. Therefore, they wasn't afraid of the fire furnace. And any man and woman, if you're afraid of your mother, what she'll say, or what your dad will say, or what your pals will say at the clubs or the pubs, or what your friends will say at school, if you're afraid of them, then you're not standing in faith. You need to reach a point that you're not afraid of what your friends say, what the doctor says, what somebody else says. You're completely confident because you're trusting the fourth man. It's a hard thing, you know, when you break from the world. I had lots of friends, I thought. We should do lots of things we shouldn't do. But when the Lord got a hold of me, I remember these men came, it was a Sunday, and they're going hunting my dogs, and I said, boys, I won't be going with you no more. I've got saved. And when you get saved, you have to separate. There's a separation comes. God separates you from a lot of things when you get saved. It's called sanctification. Praise God. You don't care what the pastor says. If the pastor doesn't preach the truth, don't worry about it. God's not with him. You say the pastor, yes. There's lots of pastors don't preach the truth. They're only in it for the money. Amen. How many believes that tonight? Now there's good men as well. We know that. But I'm just reading you here what the prophet of God said. But when you feed that back, what the pool room gang will say, what the movie group will say, what the women you associate will say, in the school, call it old fashioned if you're quick to rock and roll, looking at that and your flesh, but when God comes in the control tower, then you look at him. You don't look at nothing else. Who's in your control tower tonight? I tell you, these men, God was in their control tower. Not the king. They respected that king. But they weren't willing to bend to please him, even if they died. You can please people, and it'll make no difference. They'll stand on you when they're finished with you anyhow. You're best to please God.
Amen.
Look at this. Accepting God's provided way at the end time. But God sent the fourth man. That's all they needed. He united their hands and talked with them. They walked out without the smell of fire on them. They needed water. He sent the fourth man. All we need tonight is the fourth man. You need the fourth man when you're praying. You need the fourth man when you need a miracle. You need the fourth man. And if you need the fourth man and you're really sincere, he will come on the scene. Do you believe it tonight? And I'm going to have to close and I'm enjoying myself and I'm going to have to close anyhow. You enjoying the word of God? Let me just give you this bit and then I'll come to close. The only thing we need today is the fourth man amongst us. What is it? What is impossible to God? What is impossible to Almighty God? Doesn't he say that which is impossible with man is possible with God? Nothing's impossible for Almighty God. The fourth man came on the scene, took the charge of the fire, and commanded it to do his children no harm, no matter how hot it burned. It couldn't burn them. This true account should remind every one of us that when we suffer persecution, we need Jesus. Not only do we need Jesus, but if we are really the children of God, he won't fail us. He will not fail us. Didn't he say, the servant you stood for me, I'll stand for you. I will now stand for you. You standing for the Lord tonight? The Lord won't fail you. I'm going to have to close. But the next bit's the royal summon. And the royal summon is what the king says, come forth. ye servants of the Most High God. And he admits again that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the one true God. But he doesn't tell everybody to believe in him. But he admits he's the one true God. They claim they serve God today, but they don't tell people to believe in him. The Nebuchadnezzars. Now, see, the Pope is also a man that God's using. You say, I can't see that, brother. Well, he can't see what Nebuchadnezzar was, but he was. Now, when I say use it to bring about this whole thing that's happening, God's in control. He admitted he's the one true God. Don't they say we all serve the same God? But they don't say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they say, come to me. I can't tell you come to me. I can tell you come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I would to God that the fourth man would come in this room tonight. Have you ever been praying in a meeting and you've wished to see him? Smith Wigglesworth used to see him. He used to see the Lord. You say, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter. It happened. But somebody thinks of it, will never change it. It took place. That's just the way it is.
Yes, amen.
You know, we heard that testimony in Australia from the sister. She got in service late and they put her right at the front. She was going to kill herself. Wigglesworth stopped preaching and he said, Jesus is right by that woman right now. There's a man in this country that preached the gospel years ago and a nail-scarred hand, form of a nail-scarred hand appeared over him when he preached and some people saw it. And people got saved in his meetings. You can see things, but it's only God that can permit you to see it. But we would see Jesus. Is that the word of God says? Let's stand our feet. Then the word of God said, we would see Jesus. The fourth man. He can come into your situation. I told you I wasn't going to take this like others have took it. I want to take it the way God leads me. I can't be anybody else. I appreciate all the men God's used. And I thank God. But Brother Brian said, Elijah's cake. When you're studying all these things, you need the Elijah cake. Because there's lots of other cakes, but they're not Elijah's. There's poison in some cakes. But it was Elijah that cured the soup. He cured the waters, didn't he? Amen? He even made the axe head swim. That's the power of God. The fourth man. Well, every head's bowed, every eye closed tonight in this meeting. I don't know what you're praying for, but I want you to trust God. I want you to trust God, my brother, my sister, tonight. Whatever you're praying for, I want you right now, for your standing, to tell God under your breath, whatever you're praying, I want you to believe God now something's going to happen. I want faith to get a hold of it. I want you to expect a change. I want you to believe it. Lift your hand to the Lord if you'd say, brother, pray with us. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And those, listen, you expect for our sister Susanna a great change. I want you to believe it with all your heart. You know, when that wee fella, Gertie, was almost dead. Brother Ian rang me. He said to me, well, and I said it before I thought. I said, oh, it's going to be well. And he says, I believe it. When he said that, something happened. And you know, William Branham said, if you'll say the right thing, yes, something can happen. if you'll say the right thing. He says, let your testimony be positive, not negative, but positive. And that young man's living the day. And God spurred him. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight. Lord, we feel and sense your presence in this meeting. Lord, I believe you blessed your word, for your word is blessed. Father, you see the hands that's raised tonight in this house. Lord Jesus, I pray in absolute sincerity. You know my heart tonight, Lord. And I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that the fourth man will come on the scene for my brother, for my sister, and grant to them the miracle they need in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, this evening it's financial. Do a financial miracle. Lord, if it's physical, do the physical miracle. Lord, touch your people, I pray. Lord, when you came by the pool of Bethesda, that man had missed his season. But you are the season.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. When you come on the scene, things change. Because your word says, when the cripple was let down through the roof, the power of the Lord was present to him. Lord, we ask you'll confirm your word tonight. Let the God of Elijah come on the scene and confirm your word this evening. Lord, if you are the one true God, the Almighty God, and Lord, we worship you in sincereness of heart tonight. Help us to serve you. Help us to take these three men as an example of faith in the midst of danger. Lord, preserve your people. Deliver your people from the hands of the enemy. Bind every demon power in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. I come against every foul devil power in the name of Jesus Christ. And I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone in this house tonight. I ask for the potency of the blood of Jesus Christ, the great Holy Spirit,
hallelujah,
to confirm in your people your own word this evening. Lord, bless the song leader. Bless the musicians. Bless the deacons. Bless the elders. Bless every boy, every girl, every man, every woman under this roof this evening. And all that's near and dear to us, take a dealing with them and save every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, again, for Sister Suzanne. Lord, I know this is an attack of the devil. I come against the enemy of her soul. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight, I speak health and strength to the navel and healing to her body. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let the Spirit of Almighty God come upon her brother Jeff as he testifies tonight of your saving grace. May you give him the words to speak. May he be transformed,
amen,
into another man,
yes,
like those in the Bible. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Father, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. Now, Lord, part us with your blessing that maketh rich, and out of no sorrows with it, till thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name, praise God. God bless you as a brother comes. Few songs, whatever way the Lord leads. God bless each one. Praise God.
Even as he said, trust in the veil, look up and say, I believe.
Yes, Jesus.